do that.
Okay. 5:17. All righty, Chairman DeLon.
All right, let's call the meeting to order, and first we'll do attendance.
Okay. Chairman DeLon?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Legislator Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Parity?
Yep.
Legislator Waro?
Here.
Everybody's here.
Great, thank you. Thank you all for being here. Dr. Roberts, would you like to give us an update?
I'd love to. Semester's coming to an end. Classes are completed. We will start exams this week. Graduation will be on the 15th, which we're excited. Got a good number that'll be graduating. We have a variety of deliveries. This year we'll have a virtual. We have a number of guest speakers who have been recorded. About 70 of our students will drive through the circle, and I'll be there, and I'll hand the diploma, and we'll get a photo. And we'll line the driveway with our board chair and a few our trustees, and some of the faculty will be on chairs lining it. So they'll stop at one point and get their temperature taken, then they go to another one and they get their name, and then they'll drive through and we'll give them the diploma. Then we had a number of students. We have 35 who opted for home delivery. So I'm back on the road for a couple of days, which again is a lot of fun. I think the parents and the community get a kick out of it. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. We finished the year about 13% down in enrollment, which is about what the normal is for community colleges, not only in the state, but in the country. It seems like we, as a just an institution, you know, community colleges suffered the greatest loss as far as enrollment goes. But we're gearing up. We have a number of marketing plans for the fall semester. We're looking forward to bringing back about 50% on face-to-face. We'll do social distance, and we're going to play that by year. Right now, we have about 50% coming, but that could grow. You know, as the vaccinations increase, and if we get to a point where we can consider herd immunity, or if the chancellor could tomorrow and say everyone is required to get vaccinated, and a lot of the private schools and a lot of especially in the Boston area, they're all requiring students to have the vaccination before they come on campus. So, you know, we have a number of months to see what happens, but we're pivoting and we'll be ready for any one of those. So we're looking forward to a good fall. We're in the midst of total renovation of our classes. We're fortunate with the CARES money. We were able to get dollars to upgrade our technology. So we'll have some state-of-the-art rooms that our instructors will be working to master through the summer session on special training. So we got a lot going on, a lot of activities, a lot of virtual. We have our scholarship ceremony will be this Thursday. It'll be virtual. We had open house virtual last Saturday. We had something that was really unique is our arts department did a drive-through seeing, and we had actually 98 cars that attended, and they came in sessions of 20 minutes. So they would drive through and they'd stop and they'd park. And the fashion students would display their clothing, and they had a radio station tuned into them. So you could hear them talk about their project. 20 minutes, then we moved to another section and we heard the chorus. They sang again, you tune into a radio station, you could hear them. It was truly remarkable. And, you know, my hat's off to the faculty and the staff that pulled it together. It was, I'm even thinking we might even want to keep that up in the future because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jamie will jump into the finances. She has, you know, the budget's there, and it's you know, we're really happy with it. So I won't.
Thanks, Dr. L.
Jamie's yes. Thunder away.
Jamie and Chairman DeLon, if I could just interrupt for one quick second, sure. And ask the caller at 845-430-5035 to please give us your name for the record.
Yes, it's Mark Cozzopoli. I'm the Director of Veteran Services for Ulster.
Oh, great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So before you jump off, Doctor, can you tell us something about, you know, this this discussion that's happening with respect to tuition-free community colleges, where that might be?
Well, you know, from what we've heard is that, you know, that it's in one of the infrastructure plans to, you know, give us free community college tuition. They haven't reached out to us to see the implications or the, you know, there's a lot more to it. They may pass that, but it's going to be a complicated situation. And I'm kind of leery if it becomes totally free. I think the buy-in from so many people will not be as significant. You know, it's you drop by and try a couple of classes and leave, and you know they haven't invested anything into it. So, I hope we get an opportunity to be part of it as you know community college leadership. So, you know, as we move forward, we'll certainly keep you informed, but not too much more information other than you know we're concerned. We don't know how this is all going to unfold, but supporting students. Absolutely. You know, if we can do anything to cut that debt down, I think that's critical. So we'll keep informed. We'll let you know.
Thank you. Jamie?
So jumping in on the finances, we're very happy with the state budget. Obviously, the state enacted budget did include what's called the floor. So that's great for community colleges. They did include it again in appropriation language, but we're hopeful that that indicates a pathway forward, that the state will continue to reevaluate this on a yearly basis. The state also included a $50 per FTE increase in state aid. So you can either choose the 98% floor or the $50 per FTE, whichever is higher. So we're running all those numbers and you'll see that in our budget when we present our budget to the county. I'm still working with Jay and Vicki on some of the timing there, but we'll be presenting that and going over the state aid. But again, very happy to see what was in this state's budget this year. In terms of enrollment, as Dr. Al said, we did project an enrollment reduction for next year based on what we saw for this year. Not too significant. We do expect a lot of the students to come back. We do think that they're going to be eager to get back into the classroom, get back with their professors, and get back on track for college. In terms of the CARES funding, we're starting to get additional guidance on the CERSA funding. So that's the second round of CARES funding. As we get that guidance, it's going to be a big push for institutional funding, which is providing a little bit more flexibility than CARES round one. It still has to be COVID-related expenses, but they are allowing us to draw that down for revenue loss tied to enrollment reductions. So that is helpful for us as an institution. We're working through with SUNY to, again, track all of our enrollment reductions so that we're making sure we're all approaching this the same way on all SUNY colleges. So other than that, we'll be coming back with our budget within the next month or so, and we'll be going through that process. Now, we did have some open town hall meetings on campus, very well received in terms of our budget. Again, as Dr. L said, we came into this budget expecting, you know, a really hard budget year, but because of the state additional funding and the federal funding, it really did make it a lot easier this year in terms of our overall budget approach.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Well, thank you both. And if you could just stick around for the first resolution, we'll move into resolutions. Yeah. Resolution number 218, approving an increase in funding for installation related to capital project number 542 HVAC upgrades campus-wide and amending the 2021 Ulster County Capital Fund, Ulster County Community College.
I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you. I have a second.
Second.
All right. Jamie?
Sure. So this is an second phase of our, actually probably third phase now, of our HVAC upgrade project. This is campus-wide HVAC upgrades. Again, we have a lot of units that are very old, that are not operating efficiently or operating at all. So this will be our next phase. We're going to be doing Hardenburg. So first step would be design for the Hardenburg system. Again, these are mainly large rooftop units that we would be looking to repair and replace. Most of them have met the end of their useful life. Others have been slowly replaced throughout the years on campus. And we're phasing through the approach to replace all of them at this point.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Well, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any opposed? Done. That carries. Thank you both.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Next month.
Thank you.
Good. Resolution number 232, approving the execution of a contract for $185,000 entered into by the county, the Hudson Valley National Center for Veteran Reintegration, Inc., and the Department of Mental Health. Do I have a motion?
Motion for discussion.
All right, in a second. Thank you, Mary. We have a guest here who can speak to this, I believe.
This is a mental health contract, but it is peer-to-peer services that Mark has been vital in getting this contract and grant through. So I'll let him explain more of the services. This was supposed to be included in last year's state budget. It's something that Senator Metzger had worked hard for. The PFC Dwyer grant is something that the state has been providing to counties for a couple of years now, and we just got added to it. So Mark, if you wanna take it from there.
Absolutely, thank you, Mark. As Mark just said, this is the first time that we've actually received the grant. Very excited about that. What it's traditionally called the Vet to Vet program. It's the PFC, Joseph PFC Dwyer. Veterans peer-to-peer support. So at the Hudson Valley Center for Veterans Reintegration, they have a vet-to-vet program that's staffed by social workers that are also veterans and also peer-to-peer counselors. And they are a partner organization with us to help any veteran that's in crisis. So we work closely with them for any homeless issues, any veterans with substance abuse issues. They're going to work close with the law enforcement throughout the county. And they have access to a lot of the same programs we do with the VA. So having them on board, having this contract in place, just makes things so much better for our local veterans. And we can get them the resources that they need in their time of crisis.
Terrific. Any questions or comments? Well, it's great to hear that you've been successful in securing these funding. Thank you. I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Absolutely.
Any opposed? None? Carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Jim? Could we vote on the minutes and transcript from last month?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No problem.
So, can I get a motion to approve the minutes and transcripts of the April 6th meeting?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? Okay, that carries. Thank you. So, now for some fun. New business, the American Rescue Plan funding. As you know, Chairman Donaldson has asked all the committees to come up with recommendations for this funding. So I'm going to open this up for a discussion. Anyone want to, Mary?
I just wanted to ask, did we get any parameters or any guidance on? Not yet.
No, I have not received any, no. And Mark, perhaps you can tell me how this might play into what the county exec is doing with his committee.
So the county executive committee is really a working group with the legislature. It is, Evelyn Wright out of our office, our budget director, Bert Golnick and and Chris Kelly as deputy budget director, and then the chairman, minority leader, and majority leader. That's the working group. So what was announced yesterday is related to behavioral health only. That was the task force. That may be what you're talking about. That's
yes.
Kind of just identify gaps in behavioral health, not only from the withdrawal of 40 mental health beds and 20 substance abuse beds, but the broader, what we've seen as a decade long erosion of mental health services in Ulster County. You know, this is something that Legislator Parody was talking about when he was chairman, right? Both with opioids and others. We acknowledge that we need work and that there's gaps. And so this task force is to help identify. There's going to be a consultant that we hope to hire with some of these American Rescue Plan funds. And then the idea would be, you know, set aside some funding for behavioral health services. Last night in the committee, I'll let, you know, Legislator Criswell go deeper, but I mean, there was a talk about a stabilization center and other things like that. So that's that task force and the working group. The parameters that we've seen so far, there hasn't been a lot of guidance out, but it's basically anything that was affected by COVID, which with the double of numbers of suicides and the doubling of overdoses, I think you could say anything in behavioral health had to do with being worsened through COVID. I know when we're looking at working with you all, we hope that whatever plan is put together is really put forward as with the understanding that this is a one shot, right? The funds have to be spent between now and 2024, but we hope to not like create new programs that give us a legacy of spending. We would prefer, like if it was the stabilization center, let's put some money towards the capital to make sure that the stabilization center can become successful and then have, you know, one shot spending, because this is, we're only going to get this once and it's not going to be sustaining if we create a budget out of this thing that's going to last for years and years. So
sure.
I can speak to what Mark is talking about in terms of the plan. The proposed plan for the stabilization center is exactly that. It's sort of a one shot of rehabbing buildings, but then there's a system that a reimbursement system that would then take over the majority of the cost. So it would end up not costing the county once that whole financial back end is set up with the state and with reimbursements. I mean, that would be the overall goal of it. So it really is a one-time infusion of cash to get it up and running, to get it staffed, to get everything in place. And then hopefully through the reimbursements, it would be it would have its life of its own. So I would love to see if we could figure out something like that same type of model with programs. I really been thinking about how can we support people who have been hit so hard by COVID and by the economic impact in terms of things like job retraining or helping people get their economics stabilized. And I don't have a plan for this exactly, but I think there's a huge need right now for people who have, you know, basically been booted out of their careers and are trying to figure out what do they do next in their life. And so, you know, I'm a huge supporter of the Green Jobs and the Green Jobs Academy. And, you know, maybe there's some way that we could figure out some sort of training programs or something where we infuse dollars into helping people help themselves, you know?
Yeah, and I know that BOCES and the college both are doing a great job in training folks for the green economy. So, you know, perhaps, you know, at the next meeting, we could invite someone that could represent those academies and have a conversation about what it is they need. Is that something that you folks would like to do?
What's the time frame, Deputy Ryder, about, you know, in terms of like when do we have to have something tangible?
I know in working groups with legislative leadership and others, it's been discussed. I think Pat's kind of hope is that once the money is ready to be distributed, we can show that we have a plan in place to spend, you know, whether it's every detail down, that may not be possible. And a lot of this is going to get worked out through the budget process, right? Especially, so the one thing we know is that we're going to get $17 million this year at some point. And then from whenever we get that $17 million, it will be at least 12 months before we get the other $17 million. So the second $17 million can really work pretty well within our current budget structure as far as appropriating money in the budget process. That other first $17 million is gonna need, you know, we'll have to work everything out, and then resolutions will get drafted to put the money forward for this year's budget likely. So, you know, we're talking a matter of weeks as opposed to months, I think. Now with the behavioral health plan, you know, our goal, I think it was out there that our goal is to have that work wrapped up September, October. So, and I would imagine that I think the legislature would agree that at least a sizable chunk needs to be spent towards behavioral health. Now that's that other committee as well. But, and I know this committee has other ideas probably for some of the spending, but again, just to fill in gaps that we've seen, not only through the loss of these beds, but just over time.
Well, I think if we as a committee can focus on, you know, a couple of issues and look to, you know, those folks that are in the business to help guide us in what it is we'd like to see submitted to the chair, that certainly would help. So, I mean, how do we do that in a short time frame? And who do we talk to? I guess that's the real issue for me.
Can I suggest one? I mean, I heard you say BOCES and SUNY Ulster, and I think those are great options. But as we start to talk about green jobs, one other partner that you might want to bring to the table to discuss would be local unions. You know, local labor, really, if some of the drive is to get, you know, the Green New Deal and push these green new jobs, labor is going to build the way to that. And so working with BOCES and SUNY Ulster into some apprenticeship type programs might be one way to do that.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I've been talking to Mark, and I'm afraid I forget his last name, about this issue. And, you know, if you folks like, I can reach out to him again and see what the need is. And I can speak to a representative of the unions, perhaps Todd DiOrio. I don't know if you folks have anyone else that you think might be an appropriate representative from the unions to speak to, but I can dig a little deeper into this particular issue and come back to you. But we can handle it however you folks want.
He is the head of the Hudson Valley Building Council. So he would be a representative from all the various unions.
Yeah, I think Todd's a good idea, but that'd be great.
All right, I can do that and tie in some other folks and see how those conversations go, and perhaps, like I said, invite all of them to have a kind of in-depth conversation with all of us at the next meeting. Perhaps between now and then, if there's an opportunity, or if it seems, you know, we're on a different kind of timeline, then we could call a special meeting, I believe, just concentrate on this. So I'll start making some phone calls. I'll keep you all apprised. And, you know, at least on this issue, I can do that. But I know that at various meetings, this and other committee meetings, there's also been conversations with respect to the arts. And, I know that we've talked about the arts in, prior meetings. So does anyone, have thoughts on, again, as Mark said, kind of capital projects or not programs? Any thoughts?
One model that I like for the arts, and I'm not saying we have to support this organization or not, but there's an organization called Stockade Works, which I think they have a really interesting model in what they're doing is training local people to be a part of the film industry. So what they're doing is creating an army of film professionals. So it makes the Hudson Valley an attractive location then for people to bring big film projects in. So you're creating a workforce here that is attractive because then those production companies don't have to pay per diems. They don't have to pay moving, they don't have to fly people in, all that stuff. So again, like that's not the exact organization I'm saying we support, but the idea of that, where we're creating something that then has a sustainable life and is attractive to outside people. So, it could be in the arts, it could be in tech stuff. It could, it could probably be in a lot of different directions, but that's where I would love to see this money used, is some sort of a seed funding that's going to then grow and allow itself to not just be this, what Mark was saying, like a one-off project that then that was great in 2022, but now where is it in 2030? So I think as we're thinking of this, we should have that long-term vision of what's this money going to do for somebody 10 years from now.
Mark, you probably have a better idea of this than I do, because I haven't read really through them all, because again, economic development isn't my thing, but I know there was some of those RFEIs that centered around the arts in those proposals. And, if that might be a good idea towards putting some of this capital towards kind of the reinvention of that site. And imagine if the other side, Tech City East, was like a Hollywood East type campus, right? Where just what Peter was talking about, you have, filming sets right on. And that's not necessarily something that this money should go to, but I think it would be a big boon to this community.
Yeah, I know in Orange County, there's quite a few sound stages that have been created or to be created. So I think that that's the kind of thing you're thinking about, perhaps for Tech City. Sure.
I can actually do a little research on my own in terms of that, because I know some folks who are involved in that world. So, just something to bring to the table as a possibility.
Please do. Anyone have any other thoughts on kind of direction here? John?
Well, I'm just listening. I could see something like this entire project that Mark was talking about before morphing into an IDA, where we're trying to outdo our neighboring communities that are doing exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then it would be entirely non-productive. So I think there has to be an awareness of what other communities, and not necessarily contiguous communities, but reasonably located, so we're not competing with each other. And like I said, an IDA thing, come to our county, yeah, and we can do better. And I think that could be a potential problem.
So Peter, perhaps, you know, in your conversation with folks, what's the niche that's not being served currently in the Hudson Valley? Let's just assume that sound stages are, you know, what else is there? As I said, a niche that we could exploit.
Yeah, I'll think about that. Thanks.
Peter, do you know what's going on? Anthony's Pier 9 was bought out for something similar to this. Do you know more about that?
Where is that?
I believe
Anthony's Pier 9 in Orange County.
I don't know about that one. No, I've heard something in Sovereign, actually. So
I know that it's for, I believe it's for a soundstage.
Right. They're closing the facility. It was poured out to be a soundstage down there, right in New Windsor, right in Orange County, right down the road from us.
Another one that already exists down there that's, you know, currently being utilized.
And there is other kind of artists that need spaces, you know, I mean, maker spaces in terms of, just the other day, someone was complaining that there's no real metal arts making spaces and metal, you know, structural arts and things like that. So, you know, a big space that had lots of, you know, torches and all that kind of stuff, that could be something that would be something that could live on for a long time and serve a lot of people. And I don't know of anything like that around, like a really big, there's a name for it, I'm sure. Finery, not a refinery. There's a name for like a metal arts shop.
Center.
Foundry.
Yes. Well, yeah, why don't you dive into that, Peter? That would certainly help. Any other thoughts on where we can go, direction? If we look at training, if we look at the arts. You know, I'm just looking at this appropriation request that was provided to us, and I see that, you know, there are museums, for instance. We've got lots of museums throughout the county. I'm wondering if a capital, you know, capital projects in that direction could be something that, if something like that would be of interest. I'm looking at the Hudson River Maritime Museum, D&H Canal. I'm sure we all have facilities in our districts that perhaps could use some assistance. If that's something anyone wants to look at or thinks is valid.
I just wanted to add one more thing about communities that have been hardest hit. So it's pretty clear that you know, there are populations that have been really hard hit by this. And so we don't want to be tone deaf to that fact. And we want to make sure that our monies are helping communities that have been really devastated by this, this pandemic. So I just think we have to kind of keep that as a, you know, in our thoughts when we're looking at this.
Right. Any other ideas? No. Well, I guess Peter and I have our assignments. you know, we'll write something up, get it to you, and see if that's, if folks want to get together and have a conversation about this and kind of tease out what an appropriate dollar amount might be in support of these two projects. So, that sound good? Good. We'll follow through on that then. All right, is there any other discussion, conversation, business? No? Well, if not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move it.
All right. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get back to you quickly.
Thank you.
All right. See you with the next one.
Aye.